Welcome back to News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Our conservatives are not buying it. We need a full public inquiry to get to the today bottom that his ski buddy, cottage neighbor, family friend, and member of the Beijing-financed Trudeau Foundation came out and did exactly what I predicted. Helped
the
Trudeau.
The third fact is this. I've been fortunate in my public life to have served as chair of or member of advisory committee or task forces on probably 2 to 3 dozen different occasions over those years, with appointments by prime ministers, several, premiers, several, ministers, and on none of those previous occasions has my impartiality or integrity ever been questioned.
And he's probably 100% right that he's very capable and isn't partisan. But I think given all of the smoke around this created by the conservatives, that he should have stepped aside. Not only that, he should not be a part of these hearings that he's recommended. So a couple of things, if you're just joining us and you did not know, that was the special rapporteur, David Johnston, right there. And before that, in a 3-clip, back-to-back, nonstop clip play, we heard the latest from Pierre Poilievre, where he's basically saying it's a fake job, he's a friend of the Trudeaus, and also that they want an inquiry. Trudeau said there will be no inquiry, but what is interesting is that David Johnston says here that there was interference, but also
the elections of 2019 and 2021 were well protected by sophisticated mechanisms.
And he also says that, hey, there are some problems here, and one of them is how we communicate any of this interference with people who need to know about it, meaning the prime minister. So let's get into the politics of this with a CTV political correspondent and also former leader of the NDP here in this country. Thomas Mulcair joins us. Thomas, thank you very much for your time.
Great to be with you, Jim.
So you, I think you would agree with me. You have met David Johnston, and you say that he is probably as credible as anybody in this country. But there is that appearance, an appearance that there could not, there could have been some sort of, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. So what did you think today of him not ordering an inquiry? Because I think most people thought he was going to.
Including me. I was convinced he was going to. And I've been doing media for the past, his thing was at noon. So let's just say pretty well constantly for the past 8 hours. And I have yet to meet any experienced pundit, analyst, or commentator or opinion leader who thinks that this makes any sense. Because it doesn't. Because we're being told, look, I've looked at this thing, Johnston is telling us, and everything's fine. You know, 2019, 2021, nothing to see here, move along. Well, hold on. What are you basing that on? Well, I met with the people who work for Trudeau's government, and they've told me that they have the information. They've given me what they wanted to give me. There's been, Jim, there's been no contradictory process here. There's been no cross-examination. There's no been no ability to subpoena the production of documents or to compel the appearance of a witness. None of this meets any sort of smell test. This really does have all the appearances of trying to sweep something under the rug. That's why Trudeau was having such a hard time suppressing his Cheshire grin smile as he went through the motions with Mendocino behind his right shoulder and Bill Blair behind his left shoulder today. He was having far too much fun. For him, this was just like easy as could be. Look, I really do know David Johnston. I have a lot of respect for him. He's an outstanding Canadian who has done amazing things. But the minute that at the Trudeau Foundation, it became clear that the shenanigans of the Chinese Communist Party and giving money to the Trudeau Foundation, the minute it was clear that that had to be under the microscope, he should have walked away from this thing. So instead, he's persisted, he's signed off, and he's saying, no, no, I've taken a look at it, and there's nothing to see here. And by the way, I asked the former Supreme Court Justice, Frank Iacono, to give his name. I asked him to find out whether I was in a conflict, and he doesn't think I am. Well, it turns out, first of all, it's not me who says this. He's once described Iacono as his dear friend. But the other thing is, too, I'd love to know, by the way, Iacono, sterling credentials as a jurist. Nobody's questioning that, certainly not me. But at the same time, I'd love to know at what stage he gave that opinion. Was it before or after the resignation of all those key people at the Trudeau Foundation? Because they didn't want to continue with what was, you know, status quo with, at that place. So Trudeau is trying to have his cake and eat it too. And I, as going back to what I said at the outset, I'll tell you honestly, Jim, nobody thinks that this makes any sense. Trudeau is the only person, by the way, who gets to decide anything. David Johnston has, like anybody else, can make a recommendation, but zero decision-making ability. The only, under the law, there is a law in Canada about setting up a commission of inquiry, and that law states, word for word, that it's the governor and council, meaning cabinet. And who chairs cabinet? A certain Justin Trudeau. It's his decision 100%.
So two things. Just the optics still look bad if, because of David Johnston's connections, whether they're, you know, just, hey, friendly or buddies, whatever. I think we both agree that David Johnston can do a very good job. But it also sounds like you're saying that he didn't have the time and the opportunity to do the real transparent work that needs to be done here in order to come to this decision.
Exactly. I mean, he's only basing himself on one side of the story. It's one of the most basic fundamental principles of natural justice. You have to hear both sides.
Okay, so what about the argument that he's like, okay, you know what, those leaks, while serious, when you take them in context with what I know that you guys don't know, you would realize why there's just no need for an inquiry.
Well, think about that for a second, though, Jeff. You can just imagine a witness at a trial looking at the judge saying, well, I won't tell you what I know about what happened in this case, but if you knew what I knew, you'd acquit the person who's accused of this offense.
Yeah.
And the judge would say, well, what is that evidence? And, oh, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. I'm not at liberty to tell you, but I've had a chance to look at other stuff that I won't show you or talk to you about, and it's convinced me that you've got to let this guy go. Give me a break.
Yeah.
Come on. And so it's...
Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry. No, go ahead.
What I also think is interesting is that, you know, the appointment of David Johnston was supposed to take any gray area out of this.
Yes.
So
yes.
Where are we right now? I don't know that I think we're in a worse place than we were prior to Mr. Johnston being named the rapporteur. Not only that, as we just talked to Michelle Junot-Katsuya a couple of seconds ago, he's like, you want some, this is election interference. And right now we're like, hey, we're going to get serious about this after everybody has a fantastic summer.
Well, that's the whole thing. And who's going to be doing that serious work? David Johnston has decided he's going to take on the second part of the mandate. He says, don't need a public inquiry. We'll have public hearings and I'll take care of that. So we'll talk about things like, well, you know, politics in diaspora communities and things like that. All very important stuff, but it has nothing to do. So it's all smokescreen.
Who are they going to get to? It's not an inquiry. So it's not like a court where a witness has to show up. Like, what good is that?
No, and we saw, for example, with the trucking convoy, that was a real inquiry. You know, there were lawyers there from both sides, got to question witnesses, got to cross-examine, got to see documents, got to push your side of the story. And that's the way these things are played out. That's what the whole judicial system has to be about. So right now, Trudeau is trying to have like this wonderful solution where, okay, it's quite obvious that there was really serious misbehavior by the Chinese government. We've got more than enough information about that. Trudeau was so convinced that there was interference in Canadian elections, and that's the bedrock foundation of our democracy, that he upbraided President Xi of China at the end of November at the G20 summit in Bali, Indonesia. But now he's saying, well, actually, nothing happened. There was nothing. Oh, really? So you had a set
but
to...
Hold on. The president, are they defining it as nothing happened, or sure, things happened, but it didn't amount to anything, and there's no way that we can measure that it moved the needle?
Well, that's one of the dodges that they've been using since the beginning, but let's look at that. They're saying it didn't change the result of the election, which means that, let's just say for the sake of this discussion, that there were 10 seats of conservatives that went liberal because of the Chinese government interference. That's the highest number I've seen as a theoretical number. So let's assume that that number was true. That would not have changed the result of a liberal minority government. That's true. But you know about elections. You know how these things work out. If all of a sudden the needle, the surveys, the polling started to show more strength for the conservatives, there is such thing as a slipstream effect. People start to, you know, follow each other and they say, oh, if that's the way it's going, then maybe our riding too. There's no way, in other words, for anybody credibly to assert that they know that this did not affect the result of that election. You can, you know, like O'Toole said today, like, I lost the election. It wasn't because of that. It wasn't because of the Chinese government intervention. I lost. Fine. He can make that affirmation.
Yeah.
But nobody can say that they've looked at evidence and that they know the result.
Without an inquiry. Mr. Mulcair, thank you very much for your time. I really
great
appreciate
to talk
it.
To you, Jim.
Thomas Mulcair, who is a CTV analyst. We will talk to him soon. I'm Jim Richards. Your phone calls are next at 1-855-633-1010.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
The elections of 2019 and 2021 were well protected by sophisticated mechanisms.
I committed to listening very carefully and abiding by the recommendations that the former Governor General made.
Well, conservatives are not buying it. We need a full public inquiry to get to the bottom.
And there you go. I've been surprised by some of our contributors. I'm going to talk to a former diplomat who worked in China on several different occasions. But right now, I wanted to open up the phone lines right across the country and get your input at 1-855-633-1010. 1-855-633-1010 on what you've heard so far today. Again, a lot of people like Pierre Poilievre, who is going to be on the Jerry Agar show in Toronto tomorrow. Jerry's on from 9 until noon.
Something called a rapporteur.
he said all along that he's not going to trust the process. I kind of thought that, yeah, let's trust the process, because I thought that there would be no other way to go but to call an inquiry. But I thought Thomas Mulcair made some interesting points about, hey, he didn't talk to anybody other than the people that we've been hearing from. So the most interesting piece of information seems to have been, as Scott Reed explains.
I found him persuasive on this point, but I thought that he did come close to saying that the media don't have it right because the media don't have full context, and that they're relying, therefore, solely on the perspective of one source.
So that is that David Johnston said, hey, you know what, if you guys knew the full context of this, this is nothing here, even though he goes on to say, yeah, there is foreign interference and we need to do more about it. But as Mr. Katsuya had said, yeah, that's really, that's got a lot of teeth when basically you're like, this is very serious. We'll get back to you in September. That's how seriously we are taking it. So what were your thoughts? 1-855-633-1010, and a former Canadian diplomat in China coming up in about 15 minutes. Irene is in Ottawa. What are your thoughts, Irene?
I was very disappointed. I feel like Mr. Johnston seemed to come across as being very biased. And the other thing is,
can you give me an idea why you say that?
Well, I think he was too easy.
Yeah.
Like, he, I don't know. I just feel that, I mean, like, he's getting paid, what, $1,400, $1,600 a day?
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yep.
Right? So is he going to continue getting paid for the summer as well?
He's announced himself to be, I loved it when they put Dick Cheney in charge of finding a vice president for George W. Bush, and he came back with Dick Cheney. That was what I thought of earlier today. Hey, everybody's impugning your reputation, which I don't. But I also think you've got to know that it doesn't look good, so get the hell out of the way. Because I think all of that is wrapped in this, that I think that David Johnston is a very honorable man, but I don't think that he is got the full reading the room of how he has been spun and how he has been presented.
I agree with what you're saying. And
okay,
having listened to Tom Mulcair, I just feel that Mr. Johnson just came across as like biased and did what the government
told him. Yep, I get that. I get that, and I think that is something that everybody can believe, just because you've been told that by a lot of people. But I'd be interested tomorrow when Jerry Agar talks to Pierre Poilievre. I would say to Pierre, listen, are you going to continue to be like angry about things that you don't know about? Because he really doesn't know anything. Until he takes up Justin Trudeau's offer to take a look at what those secrets were, when David Johnston says, listen, there's some secret information here, that means that the media didn't get the leaks in context, meaning that, yes, they were bad, but when you see the full context, you'll understand why I didn't call an inquiry. And if Pierre Poilievre doesn't want in on that, then maybe he doesn't have the right to be so outraged. Let's say hi to Joe, who is in Toronto. Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, well, he said, if you saw what I saw, you would feel it's fine. Well, yeah, I want to see what he saw. I mean, we know there was interference. Like Mulcair said, you don't go to a trial and take somebody's word that, oh, well, he's innocent because I saw something that shows he's innocent, so we're just going to let him go.
Yeah.
We should hear and see what is out there. I mean, everybody knows there's interference. Show us. We're adults.
Would you trust somebody else? Because they were talking about an inquiry that a lot of this stuff we wouldn't be able to know because it is top secret. So they can't tell us. I mean, if you went on with an inquiry, it would be a lot of stuff that we wouldn't be able to know and not know why they came to a decision. I guess that's what they're telling us anyway.
They did an inquiry with Mahar Arar with all top secret stuff, and it was fine. If there's something too top secret, it won't be released. But it was handled fine 10 years ago. It's no different now. Sunlight's the best disinfectant, except for this Liberal government, this current Liberal government.
Yeah. I would agree. I think there's always a way, and you're right. There have been inquiries before where the same sort of top secret kind of claim has been made. What does that mean? Like, we as a country are not going to have an inquiry about what is more sacred than our democratic process. But somebody's like, you know what? There's some stuff you wouldn't be able to see. So why do it anyway? Well, why do it anyway? I would say it's confidence in the whole process. And I don't think that Justin Trudeau now, on the 23rd of May, is any better than he was on March the 15th. When he named David Johnston to be the rapporteur. In Montreal, here's Stephanie. Stephanie, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. They are making these documents sound so sacred, and they're not sacred. I mean, according to protocol, there is someone in this country who has the authority to declassify these documents. There's got to be someone out there who can declassify them and to make them available for the public domain.
Hmm.
Now, the ultimate question here, and nobody can answer it, obviously, but who would these documents be harming and who would they be benefiting?
You know, it's interesting you say that. I should have asked the former CSIS guy, who I think he agreed that, you know, there's some secrets here that you can't tell and you can't make it that transparent. But, I mean, there has to be a way to communicate that by saying, okay, this person, we've got spies over in China or any number of different things, the way we got tipped off. You might not want to tip your hand. Thank you very much for your phone call. We'll ask Charles Burton in a couple of seconds' time because I thought China had like 146 diplomats in Canada, but new numbers show they have as many diplomats in Canada as America, our biggest trading partner, has in Canada. And not only that, China does not have the same amount of diplomats in places like Australia or America or the England, meaning that they think and are taking us for suckers by allowing them to have so many in here. Charles Burton is a diplomat who can shed some light on that next.
The Stay in Your Car, In the Driveway radio show. Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
This is the iHeart Talk Radio Network. I am the aforementioned broadcaster. Earlier today, we heard the former Governor General David Johnston say this.
The elections of 2019 and 2021 were well protected by sophisticated mechanisms, and there is no basis to lack confidence in those results.
Okay, I don't know that that answers everything that everyone wants answered.
Something called a repertoire.
And when we hear from people, so I think there's a couple of things that he said. He said, yes, there's interference. Yes, we have to do more about it. He has confidence that it didn't affect the elections that he mentioned, but I don't know what he means by that. Does that mean that the interference didn't change results or that it didn't necessarily get to the pledge? But that, like, what are we doing with that? We shouldn't be happy with that. There should be no interference. That we're like, oh, we're happy that it didn't change any results. Doesn't seem like that is a very good answer. So also, we talked to a former member of CSIS, Michelle Juneau-Katsuya, who said this about the interference.
The information was relatively quite precise, sufficient enough to justify the kind of conversation that we've been having for months now. And if nobody believes that there is foreign interference, you're coming from Mars. You were absent from this planet because everybody have been talking about it. And by the way, we've known about it for the last 35 years. We've known about it.
So that is to say that, yes, that it is there. But the other things that Johnston said, I think, that are important are, hey, we're not doing a very good job of communicating this to people who need to know that this is happening. That's got to get better. And I think the number one reason, I think he even said today, hey, I went into this thinking, how could there not be an inquiry? And then when I got the context of what those leaks actually meant, and without the context, I'm sorry, you guys won't understand why I didn't think an inquiry is necessary. So let's keep going on here with as many different responses as we could get. We heard from Thomas Mulcair and also Michelle Juneau-Katsuya, now a former diplomat, twice over in China. Charles Burton joins us, senior fellow at McDonald Laurier Institute. What were your thoughts in general about the decision that Mr. Johnston came to?
Well, I was completely shocked. You know, that's sort of nothing to see here. Move along, trust me. I imagine they're cracking open the Moutai at the Chinese embassy as we speak, because, you know, clearly Mr. Johnston says that all of the reports in the Globe and Mail and Sam Cooper's stuff for Global News has been, as he puts it, misconstrued, because he's seen other documents which suggest that those serious allegations weren't true, and that, you know, in fact, the Prime Minister and all the ministers had not been either engaging in malfeasance or incompetence by not acting on the very serious allegations that we've been seeing in the press, you know, since the fall, really. So I just despair about this. I just can't imagine that we can not be doing more to put an end to Chinese influence mm-hmm. in our election and in our society in general.
So when he basically says, hey, if you guys knew what I knew with the top secret information and putting those leaks in context, do you think that that is garbage, or do you think that is somebody who is naive? Do you think that he dug deep enough just taking people's word for it without actually, you know, asking for, I don't know, this seemed pretty quick to come to this conclusion, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, the extent to which he was able to really go through all that stuff, and if he was a bit flim-flammed by the people who, you know, who we want to investigate. In other words, the people who are controlling the investigation are exactly the people that we have questions about: the Prime Minister, the Minister of Public Security, you know, senior officials in the civil servants and in the intelligence sector. You know, all of those people are the ones that a public inquiry would be looking at more closely, but they're the people who are saying, oh, don't worry, Mr. Johnston's got it. nothing to see here. This report is final. And then he'll spend the rest of his time doing public hearings, at which I think he'll explain to concerned communities why we shouldn't have to worry anymore. I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering if eventually there'll be enough pressure put on the prime minister that he will be forced to actually let this thing open up through a public inquiry. And certainly, you know, it was pretty insulting to the Globe and Mail to suggest that they were misconstruing things. And I wouldn't be surprised if some pretty ticked off national security people don't start another flood of leaks that will really make it clear that we need to be doing a bit more than what Mr. Johnston's suggesting.
How can anybody paying attention to this think that Justin Trudeau is in a better place today than he was on March the 15th when he announced David Johnston?
Well, I mean, that is the thing. I think that they're hoping that this will put a cap on public interest in the matter and they can move on to other things. And, you know, the Chinese relationship with China that seems to have a lot of impact on politicians and senior civil servants can sort of carry on as before. I'm not sure that that's the case. I think Canadians really want to get to the bottom of this and make people who have allowed this to happen for so long accountable and just, you know, clear it out. I mean, it's exactly as you were saying. Do we want another election where there will be illegal activities by elements of the Chinese state, whether it's illegal campaign contributions or trying to place people who are favorable to Chinese interests into our democratic legislatures? You know, the prime minister can't tell whether any seats were lost. We don't know why people vote the way they do. It's just I don't think it's going to be so hard to get to the bottom of this. Just have CSIS expose the people who were involved and kick them the hell out of Canada.
It's a pretty low standard to say, hey, there was interference, but it didn't do anything. I mean, why is that our only measuring stick here? Like, there should be no interference. There should be penalties for that interference. We should not have as many diplomats. I mean, I saw new numbers yesterday. I know you talked about 146 diplomats from China being in Canada. I saw some numbers that are claiming that they're the same as the Americans in Canada at like 170, and that is disproportionate to the number of diplomats that they would have in America, in Australia, in New Zealand. So almost saying that they see us as an easy target.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I mean, I had 146. Foreign Affairs told CTV that it was 140, but there were 36 that they had not put on the list because they weren't really diplomats, okay, even though they had diplomatic passports. But yeah, it's 176 for Canada and 178 for the U.S. How does that make any sense? I mean, clearly we must be very fertile ground for Chinese intelligence and harassment operations if they put so many people here. It's like, I think it's like triple what they have in Australia and, you know, more than they have in Britain and almost exactly the same as they have in our neighbor to the south. It's like hard to figure out. And I mean, in the report, they said we only have about 50 people in China. So why would we allow the Chinese to have 176? What's that? More than three times our cohort in China? Shouldn't it be reciprocal and the numbers should be the same for both sides?
Yeah, I would agree. Listen, Charles, thank you very much for your time, as always.
Great to speak with you.
Charles Burton is a senior fellow with Macdonald Laurier, also a former diplomat for Canada in China twice over. So there are different perspectives, one from CSIS, one from somebody who's been in government before, or at least in Ottawa before with Thomas Mulcair, and there from a diplomat. And we wonder what your thoughts are. Let's continue with some phone calls now. 1-855-633-1010. 1-855-633-1010. What do you... Listen, I think a full inquiry should have been called. I don't think Justin Trudeau is any better today with optics of his government not taking this seriously than he was on March the 15th. But I'd love to hear from you. 1-855-633-1010. 1-855-633-1010. Is everything good on this front, or are you still concerned? Next on the iHeartRadio Network.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
I do think that this is everybody. I think there was a point where Justin Trudeau probably was thinking, all right, hopefully David Johnson won't come back with recommendations for an inquiry. But at this point right now, I think Justin Trudeau is in a worse place than he was prior to announcing this ridiculous operation as having this guy, who I do think is very, very credible. But unfortunately, he goes in there and he decides, oh, you know what? This information, these leaks... the leaks didn't have the context and all the information to really kind of find out what they meant. And so people were misled to think that things were worse than they actually were. So we're in a situation right now where I think things look just as bad as they ever were. But I'd like to get your opinions right now. Phones are going to be open, 1-855-633-1010, 1-855-633-1010. I'll do something that the other shows do not do. Let's verify with Tony, the producer, that the phone lines are open.
Well, they're open they're for open. Most people.
Yeah. Okay.
They're open.
They're open. So when I say operators standing by, it's just not me throwing it on a line. So 1-855-633-1010. The rapporteur, David Johnston, said, yes, there's been attempts at election interference. There is election interference. They did not amount to anything in 2019 and 2021. The government does a terrible job in communicating these threats to elected officials who should know about them. And finally, hey, you guys don't have all the information. You got your hair on fire about these leaks, but you guys don't know what I know, so I know that it's not that bad. And everybody's supposed to be like, okay, we trust that guy. 1-855-633-1010. Let's go to Rick in London. Rick, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Well, what I understand about this special rapporteur, David Johnston, the holding back on information, is that I was talking to a retired MP today down here in one of our ridings here in London, and I says, like, with this security clearance, all the stuff that's going on, I says, why are they stonewalling Canadians so much? And he said, basically, he says, you know, if every, you know, it wouldn't be that way. If every, you know, if you had security clearance for every Canadian, they would get to see this stuff. But there's no way it's going to happen that way there. So, I mean, they're privy to it. We're not.
Well, which is exactly what the guy from CSIS told us, that as much as he wants things to be a little more transparent, he's a guy in the know who was the head of CSIS for that area of the world. He said, listen, this can't be that transparent, but he was hoping for a little more than this, which I mean, the most alarming thing is that, yeah, we're going to take this very seriously starting in September when we do hearings, because everybody has to have a nice summer over the integrity of our elections. And I know there's not maybe they're like in Alberta in a couple of weeks, there's an election, or at the end of this month, but there's not another federal election until that time. Or at least that's what we know of at this point. But I don't know. That doesn't give me confidence. That doesn't answer a lot of questions about, like, why, again, are there 176 diplomats in this country from China when America has about the same number? And China doesn't have the same percentage, according to population, in other countries. That makes you think, hey, they think we're an easy mark and we're going to wait till September to address this. Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I mean, precisely. I mean, another thing I could touch on is that you talk about, like, CSIS and the RCMP. I read another thing about CSIS and the RCMP and other departments, especially CSIS and RCMP. They will not share information between each other. Apparently, they just do not trust each other with the information. They're just scared. You know, CSIS tells RCMP something, RCMP is going to leak it or take credit for it. And, you know, this is... And that was the same thing that happened, believe it or not, way back in 9/11, back in the States.
Sure.
All the agencies down there, it caused a lot of rift. They wouldn't share information to it, and they found out.
It happens in, with, well, I mean, going back in this province here in Ontario, there's a serial killer bouncing around from municipality to municipality, and they don't even talk to each other. It's just ridiculous. Rick, thank you very much for your phone call from London, 1-855-633-1010. And another reminder that Pierre Poilievre will be on the iHeart Talk Radio Network tomorrow, Jerry Agar's show out of Toronto. I do think there are a whole bunch of questions that need to be asked, including if you're the guy who has picked on, I do think that he's really been gone like way too low and just way too low in attacking David Johnston. Some of the stuff that he said, I think, has been pretty pathetic and unbecoming of somebody who wants to be a leader, but now he's got the opportunity to see some of the top secret information and find out whether or not he believes, as David Johnston does, that it puts the leaks in perspective. And again, David Johnston is like, hey, I thought there was going to be an inquiry, but when I saw the information and put the leaks in context, I was like, okay, now that's why their hair wasn't on fire, which is an interesting thing to say when at the same time he's saying, well, wait a second. These organizations need to communicate better, and they need to communicate with the head of or elected officials and make sure that some of this stuff might get into the prime minister's office where he's going to hear about it. I mean, Matt Gurney was on earlier today, and Matt is a columnist and a contributor here to the iHeartTalk Radio Network. But he is one of these guys who has actually read the report from start to finish. And he says, listen, it's a pretty scathing part of the report that really talks about how the system works in Canada, how it works by not working appropriately in communicating with people.
Go read the report. Go read specifically, I would say, roughly pages 17 through to pages 21. And what you're going to see in that finding, guys, is one of the most low-key, scathing indictments of a Canadian government you are ever going to read in your life. And I don't mean of Justin Trudeau personally or of Katie Telford or of any particular cabinet minister, but how our government handles classified information is insanely broken. One of the things we learned in the Johnson report is that the prime minister is briefed on classified information when CSIS or maybe another intelligence agency sends a binder into a room, and the binder could be hundreds of pages of long, and it is not differentiated. It is just page after page of raw intelligence, and someone who is a member of the government is tasked with reading through it and deciding for themselves what is important and then reporting that back to the prime minister.
So more on that a little bit later on, and of course tomorrow on the iHeartTalk Radio Network, Vashi Capellas will have tons on that. And if you listen to the local Toronto station tomorrow, Pierre Poilievre will be on with Jerry Agar. Straight ahead, it's the draft tonight on The Draft. I love this idea. It is greatest movie cameos. So we'll have a draft with our two movie experts, and they will go through their top five movie cameos. That is straight ahead. Then we'll dig into the idea of whether or not it's okay to ticket people who want to give money to the unhoused, and what community in this country is taking a look at that and think that is a good idea. That's all coming up at the iHeartTalk Radio Network. I'm Jim Richards. Thank you for your time.